Like those words that Ron read, Jesus said, we'll go in and out and find pasture. And wherever we go, the Lord's seeking to meet us and feed us on Himself and just nourish our soul in every way, and hope we get a sense of that in these days of following Him. Well, Solomon takes us down the road of passion and enthusiasm in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And remember, throughout the book, he's going down different experiences in life. They're dead-end streets in a lot of ways when they're just by themselves. And then when he meets God in the midst of that, wow, the whole experience gets enlivened. And he meets the Lord himself. And at the first service, somebody asked me how I was doing a little bit before the service started. And I said, well, kind of tired. I hope I can awake myself before we begin worship. But the word enthusiasm and passion that Solomon felt and he encouraged us to have, if you look at the word enthusiasm, it really means to be filled with God. So if you're enthusiastic, there's a chance that God is doing something in your life toward Him. And if you're not enthusiastic, you might say, well, then you're not filled with God. Unless there's some hurt or grief or exhaustion in your life, you know, to be filled with God brings energy to your soul. And with children going back to school, it reminded me of my days back in seventh grade when the school newspaper put out an edition where they listed as many people as possible in their school paper, and they put a quality beside that person. For example, they would say, as musical as Mike, or as jolly as Roger, as artistic as whoever. And for they put down as enthusiastic as, and they put my name down there. And I couldn't believe it. And all my friends said, I think they're doing that to be sarcastic. You know, because I was very quiet and very shy and, you know, much more steady than enthusiastic. So steady it was, is he going to move today or not? But they put as enthusiastic as me. That was not a very high goal to attain toward. However, to be filled with God, to be enthusiastic about something, or to be bold, we would have to admit that's something most of us don't naturally have. It really goes beyond a personality type. God can give that to us if we don't have that. We can say many great things about the Lord. One thing we can say about Him, He is bold, He is enthusiastic, and He is passionate about you. And so Solomon starts to point to being filled with God and throwing yourself into life in various experiences in Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 9, he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might while you still have the chance. He actually says, because in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning. Now, that's a way to take the wind out of our sails, Solomon. You know, whatever you're doing, do it with all your might, because the time is short. The time is running out. While you still have a chance, live life to the fullest with God. With God. Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters. That's a go-for-it kind of message. And you might picture a farmer. He takes one wheat seed and he goes out in the middle of a huge field representing his experience and all he stands for. And he puts one seed in a field somewhere and he says, that's it. That's my best shot. I'm expecting 12 loaves of bread out of that. And Solomon says, that's not going to happen. Cast your bread upon the waters. Seven places, give portions to seven and then to eight. Because you don't know what will succeed. You don't know what God will touch in terms of investing your life in that which what counts. Follow the Lord with your whole heart. Jeremiah promises that if we follow Him with our whole heart, we will find Him. So that's something that God invites us to. Cast your bread on the water. Have you ever thrown yourself into your relationship with God? 100%. All of us throw ourselves into something, even if it's self-preservation or our own comfort or just kind of trying to fit in with what's going on. All of us really do throw ourselves into something. But have you ever thrown yourself into your relationship with God 100%? Have you just surrendered all to Him? And of course, the more we surrender to Him, the more we find Him in the different aspects of our life, in which we desperately need Him. I remember talking to a person who came to faith in Christ in their 60s. Okay, so they lived a while. And for the first time, they started reading the Bible. They wanted to know, do I have the right Bible? How should I approach, you know, this good news that for the first time in my life I'm reading? And they said, I'm praying for my family for the first time ever. They said, I'm praying for people in Giant Eagle that I don't know. Can I get to learn the songs that we sing sometime? Can I take a book home, you know, one of these books in the pew, and take it home and look at those songs? Take them, you know, take it. And their whole life had changed. They were being bold. And they had a passion that was not really from themselves, but from God Himself. God is bold about you. Are you bold about Him back? You might say, well, I'm not real enthusiastic. There's not a lot of enthusiasm in my relationship with the Lord right now. If you say that, you're just saying that about half the relationship. Because on God's side of the relationship, He's full throttle. And He's not holding anything back. I'm trying to get to your heart. And some folks, I know, you're like a caged bird waiting to be set loose. If you would say to God, God, I don't have boldness. You know, even Paul said, pray for me, I need boldness. If you'd say to God, Lord, I don't have boldness or passion or enthusiasm for you. Give me what I don't have. And I surrender. And your life would just take off. And you'd say, I feel alive for the first time after a long time because of the truth of who God is. There's either an urban legend or a true story about Arnold Palmer, the golfer, probably a legend more than truth, but it has a good point to it. He goes to Saudi Arabia a number of years ago and golfs just to connect with people overseas. So a lot of sand traps in Saudi Arabia, so he has a good time there. And so he finishes that, and the king of Saudi Arabia said, we're so pleased that you were here. Thank you for coming. It's customary for us to give you a gift. What would you like? Would like to give it to you? And he said, I don't want anything. Just being here was great. You're insulting our tradition if you don't take a gift. So he says, okay, get me a golf club. That would be nice. And so the next day, in his hotel room, a representative comes, knocks on the door, gives him a title. Mr. Palmer, here is a deed to your 36 holes and lakes and land and buildings for you. The golf club. And the point is, when you ask the king for a gift, you could expect something very valuable. And to ask God, Lord, give me passion for yourself. Lord, help me to think of you, like as Fanny Crosby singer said, to think of you all the day long. Give me a song, for I cannot be silent. Your love is the theme of my song. Solomon felt that even when he went down in the dumps. He said, I'm going to have life with God. Therefore, I'm going to live with enthusiasm. Charles Spurgeon said this about Christ, who would be his life. He said, Jesus is everything we need to be that bold shepherd. On our behalf. He guides, He watches, He protects, He feeds, He restores. You could picture your heart and your whole being receiving that from Christ this week. He feeds, He guides, He restores, He watches, He protects. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's certainly not stuff. But that's life with God. In your soul. In your spirit. In your body. In your step. In your countenance. God will find you there in the midst of desire for passion, enthusiasm, boldness. Cast your bread on the waters. Share Christ as widely as possible. That's another way to be alive. That's what Paul did as an apostle. He said in 1 Corinthians 9, to the religious, I wanted to fit in and take on some religious things so that with as many as possible, I might point folks to Christ. With those without religion, I tried to understand that and I tried to walk in that way so that by all means, I can win folks to Christ. God's word never returns void or empty, Isaiah says. And so we can have a confidence. We cast the bread on the water. God, how are you going to use me today? To point somebody to you. That's what we want to do. Be bold. And be with passion and an enthusiasm that is not just from yourself or your personality, but from God. And then Solomon would say, be joyful. Be joyful. Joy is a quality of God. And he wants to pass it on to us. He said, how many years a man has, let him enjoy them all. So part of God's will for us, whatever path we're walking, to say, well, I know God is with me, therefore it's well with my soul. Whatever path we're on, enjoy him. And don't wait for the ideal conditions to celebrate God. I think a lot of us are into that a lot. Solomon said, if you look at the clouds, you look at the wind, you'll never plant anything. You'll never see anything come to pass if you're always looking. You know, it's just not right, so we can't love God like we're supposed to love God. It's raining outside, so let's not go outside. It's raining outside, take an umbrella and go outside. Follow Christ. Right where you're at. And something will grow. Catherine Booth, who was a wife of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was interviewed when she was 103 years old. So she has a couple years on all of us. And they asked her a question, isn't it true life is so hard and mysterious, it's just hard to believe sometime and hard to throw yourself into your faith? And at 103, she said this, well, there are mysteries that you won't understand. But even so, you can enjoy life. She was 103. You can enjoy life. See, not endure life. I'm just going to tough it out for another month. And maybe God will bless me and by Thanksgiving. No, to enjoy life. Make the most of the time. God says, make the most of the time. This is your time with God. That's under His providential care. He said, follow me there, right where you're at. Make the most of the time. And one preacher said, and if you enjoy life, tell your face about it. You know, that's the challenge for me personally. When I don't look like I'm following the Lord. And don't just look for the faults in things. Look for the Lord in things. In chapter 10, Solomon said, some flies can ruin the perfume. Flies had come. Apparently, perfume was like an ointment you rubbed on yourself, almost like Vaseline or something, and it would smell nice. But if the flies got in it, then it would smell bad. Well, life with God is sweet. But if you just look at faults all the time, someone said, you're not going to see God. You're not going to see the Lord. See the blessing from Him. It's easier to create a stink than to create sweetness. God can create sweetness. And if we would do life with Him, we would know the sweetness of God. Love what is before you. Love God who is before you. Love the people who are before you. Teddy Roosevelt said, forget about the maybes and the might have beens. what some poet said, the saddest three words, four words, in the English language, what might have been. Forget about the maybes and the what might have beens. Tackle what is now. Throw your heart into Christ now. Today's the day to know Him. Today's the day of salvation. And be joyful. Are you getting out, no matter what year you're in, are you getting out the message that believing in Christ actually helps you celebrate life? The invisible God is known through His visible people, and as the world looks at us, what kind of God do you think they see? A God who helps celebrate what He has created, or maybe just our own limitations that we are failing to point people to the Lord, even as we recognize those limitations, to not just get by, but to get God, to see the Lord in everything. One old song said, "I say to myself, what a wonderful world that was." Solomon was pushing people to what God was doing all the time. "I say to myself, what a wonderful world. I see friends on the street saying, 'How do you do?' They are really saying, 'I love you.'" Solomon said, "I see God every day. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God." And if our hearts aren't pure, God is very gracious to come to us and say, "I'll give you a pure heart. So you'll not only see so many sins that you never saw before, but you'll see how the good news can make an impact on the sin that is there and devastating, but on the Christ who is greater and far superior to the sinful world in which you and I live, and which you and I are so quick to complain about. Christ is far superior, far more joyful. Happiness is to know the Lord. An old song says, living a life within His favor. Happiness is to know the Savior. And if all the people on the face of the earth, you and I have an opportunity to celebrate life as a gift from God. And so whatever we do, I do think, testimony-wise, after I trusted Christ, started to follow Him, food tasted better. People looked different. Work looked like an opportunity and not just drudgery. Let me say, a Christian looks at art more differently than somebody who doesn't know Christ, because they say, "God made those colors. God was having mercy on the contemporary artist who painted chaos. They're working out something in their life, apparently." You take on life with God. You see God in it all. And Solomon points us to that. And then, in the midst of it all, so we just don't say, "Well, we'll just be a bold, joyful people." And won't that be realistic, you know? If Solomon says, be warned in the midst of it all. Be warned and be careful. We won't have all the time in the world to follow Christ. We have today. And don't forget, you have finals. That's what we'll say to our kids. They go to the first week of school, and let's just play, and let's just color, and let's just learn names and relax for a while. No, don't forget, you'll have finals. You'll be held accountable for everything you think, do, and say to live life before God as a way to honor Him. And do you know how to get to home plate in your life? Do you know how to get to home plate? Or are you just like running the bases? Who knows where you're going? Had some friends in school. They said, "Well, you know, sometimes you're just out there popping popcorn out in left field. That's what you're doing with your life." Or and another fellow, when you were too inactive, would say, "Don't stand around. You're killing the grass." That was pretty harsh. But to be warned, life before God is important. It's joyful, but it's sobering. And if you know where home plate is, would you please keep your eye on home plate? The point is to follow Christ. He's your home. And life with Him is blessed. And judgment before God, which we will all experience, even under the grace of God, we still answer for how we followed the Lord. Judgment before God is factual, it's fair, and it's inevitable. So we say, yeah, before God, to live a life of wholeheartedness. And when we stand before God, we'll need somebody to stand beside us. Someone who speak to the Father in our defense. And we'll need Him on Judgment Day, but we'll also need Him every day of our walk. Someone to stand before God in our defense. Jesus, the righteous one. And so here He is today. And we say, He is the one who takes away the penalty of our sin. The atoning sacrifice. And not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. And our need for passion, enthusiasm, and joy, and warning. We say, we're glad to experience it all with a Savior who's faithful. And who has a passion and boldness for us. And then we hear the Lord say about us, this is a child of mine. I have faithfulness and commitment to that one. And how you ever would feel about a loved one of yours or a child of yours, God's commitment to you is strong and high and faithful and loving. And you'd be covered by His mercy. And He would say, welcome home. If you choose to walk with Him today or meet Him at the judgment, He'll say, welcome home. To celebrate life with Christ, what a gift. Jesus described it as going in and out, finding food. Finding pasture, rest for your soul. And He described it as life and life more abundantly. Might we follow the Savior in the wonderful adventure of trusting Him today. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your love for Solomon, a king, but a simple man, looking at life and experiencing it a lot like we do. And he had times where everything was meaningless and he didn't know if he should push on. But You always were the light in his life. You were always his shepherd. And so he knew he was at his best following You wholeheartedly. I pray that would take place in the hearts of each one here today. Father, fall time and this time of year is always a transition time. And transition times are times to make changes in heart allegiances. And I pray just in a silent time of commitment to You, would be able to just surrender every aspect of our life to You and say, we choose life and life to the full with Christ. Hear our silent prayers as we bring before You what needs to be brought. And we receive from You what we need to receive. Hear our silent prayers.